It's crazy.
Do you remember the pool hall on Crescent?
Yeah.
No, Crescent and 13th?
I don't think that was there.
Well, that was the place I remember walking by and seeing them hassling people for joints and lids, but seeing guys with blankets laid out on the sidewalk on Crescent outside of that with works for sale and heroin.
That was 1970.
I've ever seen somebody laying out heroin, not just saying it.
You know? Did you ever know this guy named Fly? He was a musician.
Fly.
He's like a Buckhead musician. I gotta track down this story.
Who did he play with?
All these like later 80s stuff, but he was our age, you know.
Well, I got somebody.
What about these guys? What about Justin Jefferson?
He swears he drank with Jim Morrison.
We've got a couple of people that talk about their stories.
Did Morrison showed up with a 12-6-pack or something?
He did a poetry reading at the High Museum in like 69 or something. Because it got several people that saw it, that Mike Ford is that keeps the blog, went up to see him and said, and then somebody told him about the strip and he went down and walked in with, bought beer for people. And
yes, well, that's exactly what Fly says. That's how you can, you know, when you triangulate a story.
Yeah, right.
You know, you
get
it from a different angle and the person A doesn't know what person B said.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they take kids, okay, you go in this room. And talk to your friend. Hey, you and your friend just
the cops for sure.
So yeah, that's when you really know that something actually happened.
And journalism.
I was always like, "Why are you fucking sure that you drank beer with Jim Morrison?" Because right at 14th, where Colony Square is now, it was like this like Georgian mansion, the big lawn that went up to it. It was like it wasn't like nobody lived there. It was sort of like an old office or something. Somebody had lived in it one time.
Yeah, right. That was the fancy part of the town at that.
But it's sort of fallen because nobody.
Well, actually, the Schifflos lived there. They were renting. They'd rented it and then rent sublet rooms and stuff. And so it was already full of bohemian proto hippies.
Do you remember the German embassy down the street?
Yeah,
John Consular was. I lost my virginity directly across the street from there.
But you know, the interesting thing is we've been talking through, as Pat and I have been like talking through things, we got, was it Paul Crater at the History Center said something about on 14th and Peachtree, Mrs. High lived in there. She donated her house to the city for a museum.
I've been in that house,
And so then they said it even can go back further. You can trace it to when the Cotton Exposition was in Piedmont Park.
Well, that's what we're trying to find
and
out. Why did that
the Arty Farties that were there ended up settling in that area. So then now there's a big art school down there. And you know, if you believe that there were vortexes of power in places, that art is so attracted there.
And I just
And ironically, art and drug abuse, because there's this also an old legend about 10th and Peachtree.
Oh, the squeeze?
Tight squeeze.
About being an addict. Yeah, it was all the junkies lived down there at the turn of the century, the 20s?
World War II. I mean, Civil War vets that had been made junkies by operations.
That's what it was.
Margaret Mitchell got run over there.
Right across
the art theater. Yeah. And they hung Andrews Raiders.
Where's that?
At Juniper and Third.
Is that right? Wow, what a neighborhood, huh?
Yeah.
That's incredible. I love that.
When we went down to the basement with our buddy at the History Center, you see, come out of the elevator and you go around, and there's a photograph from this right after the Civil War of Atlanta, and I know it had Ellis Street, Peachtree, and Ellis.
Yeah.
And all that were there were just big mansions.
Uh-huh.
Like
yeah.
three of them, maybe, mm-hmm. in the whole picture. Yeah.
Well, I remember when I first came to Atlanta in 69, there were still lots of mansions on Peachtree Street.
Yeah. Well, they just moved the governor's mansion, and with it, like the fancy area moved out to West Paces. Lester was the first governor out there, and they were so horrified. We just got this fancy area here, and then fucking Lester Maddox is going to be the judge. He'll move in.
That was my first time I ever voted. I walked into the voting machine. You could vote at 18 in Georgia.
That's right. Yeah. I remember that.
So I walked into the voting machine. Democratic primary for governor, which was essentially the race for governor, I had two choices. Jimmy Carter. He's kind of cool guy from South Georgia, pretty smart, was in the Navy. Or Wester Maddox, a guy who hands out pieces of wood at his restaurant, the implication being that you should use them on black people. Okay, now let me think about this again.
But you have a third choice.
There's this guy named Jimmy Carter, or Wester Maddox. And so, yeah, I voted for Jimmy Carter.
You had a write-in who won
the
election.
So then the next morning, I wake up to find that the good people of Georgia were the choice between Jimmy Carter or Wester Maddox. They have chosen Lester Maddox to be their governor, a guy who hands out pieces of wood at his restaurant to hit other people who don't have the same skin color.
There's a big fact missing in there, though. The person who won the popular vote was Bo Calloway, running as a write-in candidate. And he won the popular vote, and the everywhere outside of Atlanta in the Georgia legislature voted to give it to Lester. Lester became governor.
I think that was the second one. Because Bo Calloway was a Republican.
Yeah.
He was in a Republican. But the first one in '66, I think Lester pretty much won that thing. But